Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Lovely, lovely, bright, cheerful little bunch. This morning I've asked if I could come, if I could come and share some thoughts that I had that the Lord had been teaching me about praise that I was just absolutely loving and getting excited about. And it's a topic that's yay big. And it's just so much to that I could share and to know and to learn that I've had to condense it down into a little pocket-sized portion. So it's as well that there's time constraints here today. So I'd just like to start with a prayer. Lord, help us today to be willing to be led into knowing your truth for us, what your word states clearly to us that perhaps we don't always clearly see. Holy Spirit, we invite you that you would come, who is the revealer of all truth, and reveal what we need to know today, what you need to put in place in our lives today, what you need to put in place in our lives for our tomorrows, not just for us, but for our church family and for our community. Lord, we thank you that you know our hearts and you examine them, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just help us. A simple prayer, Lord, just help us to find our way in your truth. Thank you. There's two miracles, really, in me being up to share with you. Number one is that I would think my thoughts were worthy of sharing in the first place. There has to be God. And number two, that I would ask to get up and share them. I'm just so excited about what God's doing in my life and our lives and what he's going to do. That, as Jim taught us last week from Ephesians 4, that we're all important parts in a body. And my thoughts and my heart and God are as important as all of yours. And it's important that we all feel and know what God's saying and would step into that for not just your benefit, but for the benefit of the whole community of the church and eventually the community as we grow together. And he will be seen. So my topic is about praise. I've been someone who's always enjoyed music. I think I've shared that before in church. And as a Christian, the same, until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now I just love to praise and to worship and praise. It's a journey of experience and of learning for me. The scripture Ross read for me from Ephesians talks about us being a masterpiece. I would grapple with that, and I'm sure a lot of us would, most of us, maybe all of us, that we are God's masterpiece, that we're his special design. And that he has created us specifically for a purpose, and there's things for us to do, and that's what he's about in our lives. I want to start just by laying a little bit of a foundation with, I was doing a reading a few weeks back, and it's what evolved out of the various things I was reading was what I saw as God's vision for the church from the Word. And it was from Psalm 149, Acts 2 and Revelation. Imagine an active, beautiful, moving body of his children with high praise in our mouth and a sharp sword in our hands. This is a picture of a warrior bride, and she is dressed in all glory. She is fearsome, she is beautiful, and she is absolutely deadly to the enemy of her soul. God's enemy, Satan himself. This bride is the image of Christ himself. And I know that some guys have said they have a problem with the image of the bride. How do they fit? You know, us women, it's easy to imagine ourselves dressing in a beautiful gown and getting all prepared for a wedding. But for guys, it's something else. But the bride is the reflection, the mirror image of Christ himself, which I think is pretty awesome. It clears my understanding of the bride. She's dressed in glory, fearsome and beautiful. A church as God envisioned for us, it will not be stopped. It will not be hindered. It will not be defeated. and nor will she be shackled. She will rise, arise out of the nations of the world, all glorious, and she will. And will we be part of that? What an amazing vision of his intentions for us. He is in the process now of readying us, his bride, to reveal his glory in the earth for the great end times harvest to come in. That was Psalm, I can't remember the number now, I've got it written down, 67. And when praise is coming out of all the earth, all the nations, the harvest will be brought in. So this isn't just us singing a few songs, there's more to it than that. The Lord is calling the workers, that's you and I, prepare. That's being jointed together, as Jim said, the important parts of the body working together. Our ability and our intellect, they won't qualify us, or how long we've been working for the church, what we do, how good or how kind we are, or how long we've been a Christian. None of these things will qualify us. What simply qualifies us is surrendered and yielded hearts. Man's chief end is to glorify God. That's to mirror God, the bride. And enjoy him forever. And that's relationship. And connected to God and one another. Those who know their God, the word said, shall be strong, not maybe, shall be strong and do exploits. The church will be seen in the earth as strong and doing exploits. She won't be overlooked. We do need to know and understand, though, who God is, to understand who we are in him, so that we have that right response, especially to what he's doing in our lives and why. Are we absolutely lovers of his truth? God's truth, that is, the way it's written, the way he says it, the plain, hard facts sometimes, God's truth. God is, of course, spirit, so he reigns and he rules from a spiritual kingdom that is unseen in earthly realms. So we can walk in what we know, but will we walk in what we can't see? It's a bit of a challenge for us to take on things when we're not brought up in that culturally. His ways are higher, and so they are different from our logic and our knowledge. We know him only by the revelation of his spirit, so we need to embrace the spirit to know him. I so love the Holy Spirit as it reveals more and more and more to me of Jesus, and more of how special we are together in him. Just so much for us to learn and grow in. We could never, should never, and could never become complacent. There's just always more. He's our friend and a comforter, a teacher, a helper, and so on. The word says we live, we move, and we have our being in him and because of him. I don't know how much credit he gets for it. To reject any aspect of the Holy Spirit is, of course, to reject God himself. And to reject the Holy Spirit is the only sin that's unforgivable. So that's an area we need to ground. We really need to be careful. We are born again of water and the Spirit. A new creation. The old self is buried in Christ. Just to touch on the aspect of the Holy Spirit, why I'm saying this so emphatically perhaps, is I believe it's one of the areas, I believe there's three areas that God is strongly working in this church, in our lives on. One is the revealing of the Holy Spirit and who he is in us and through us. The other is, of course, knowing who Christ in reality and truth is. And the third, I believe, is praise and worship, which will lead us into relationship. So just to give a wee bit of fill in there. Does the order or position that we have given Jesus in our lives and in the church reveal the glory of the character of God? What at this time is our witness? I believe we have much to grow up into in him. Once again, Ephesians 4 that Jim talked on. Who has called us out of darkness into intimate knowledge of him, into his glorious light. Ephesians 4 is a good word for us to really chew on. I think I spent 6 months just chewing on Ephesians 4. And could feel like just lately I need to go back to it again. If our approach to God is passive, the result will be an underdeveloped spiritual life, an immature faith, and will at best be a one-sided relationship. God says he'd rather we were cold than lukewarm. If there's no passion, no power, there'll be no revelation of the true character of God. Effectively, a witness with no spirit life breathed into it. His glory not revealed for all to see and know that there is indeed a Saviour. And if faith is not developed, therefore we fail to please our God. A brief picture of an ineffective, immature church that has form but not the life. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry that I've just dished all that out, but that's really where I felt I need to build that picture, and it's all pretty woeful. But it gets good from here on, because hopefully that's not a picture of who we are and who we're growing into. It's all pretty woeful, so we want more than that. However, a surrendered life that is reliant on the Holy Spirit will not be passive. She will be intentional, aware, accepting. I love Ross's illustration with the ball. He didn't tell me what he was going to do, but I just think that's such a graphic picture and so awesome. Thanks, Ross. That was really good. It'll stay with me, that one. Aware, accepting, seeking, giving, receiving, passionate, committed, moving in a continual forward motion in him. Jesus came to deliver us out of a natural destructive kingdom into a heavenly spiritual kingdom. But this is not just automatic on receiving salvation. We need to will, to do, to be intentional, to learn and to grow an understanding of God's ways and what he has actually purposed for us. What Jesus has modelled and what the word would direct us in, and being continually, of course, filled with the abundance of the Spirit to make all that possible. Ephesians 3:20, that he would desire to do so much more than we begin to imagine, could dream, could think of. God has so much in store for us. So what do we do? We need to align ourselves with what we hear and see him doing. One area I clearly see is in the area of praise and worship, as I shared earlier. I've learned recently that worldwide, as never before, praise and worship is being expressed in all the nations of the world. Concerts that go on for hours with people just praising and worshiping and being lost in the presence of God, loving and enjoying him, and never before has this happened in this way. So that there's a whole move globally in the body of Christ and the praise and worship. It's not just what God's doing in our little pocket, but it's something he's doing around the world. Never has there been so many songs written, and powerful songs. I think the songs have always been powerful, but they're powerful in each generation because it's the voice of God in each generation. Songs have always been a pathway, good or bad. Every generation has a voice through the powerful medium of song. Singing, I've learnt, and I think I've got this right, I couldn't find where I'd read it, but singing fires up 8 parts of the brain compared to 2 when we're talking. And I have no example of that, but it's gone out of my mind at the moment, so I won't go there. It's not there. As songs in church, therefore, create a pathway for us also. Songs inspired by the Holy Spirit, the now songs that speak to us prophetically, building us in the areas that God's highlighting. So, you know, if you're one of those who's thinking there's not enough new songs in the church, well, we're getting there. And we will have more new songs. If you're one who's thinking there's too many new songs in the church, God's voice is in those songs. And we need to hear what he's saying to us. And not just think, can we not just have the old ones? Dare I say, if our songs have not changed, they say, in 100 years, or even 30 years, chances are we haven't moved on very far. And I know personally I came to the Lord 30-odd years ago, and I love those songs of my youth, and I'll go back to them in times of worship, and I just naturally worship with those songs, and some of you older folks will too with your hymns and etc. You have songs that are your go-to songs that you love. We are made in His image, so we all have built-in creativity, manifest in all manners of ways. Now, I'm creative, so a lot of people will say to me, oh, I haven't got a creative bone in my body. I'm sorry, you're made in Christ's image. You are made by God Himself, and He is creative, so therefore, in whatever way that you're going to express it, be it in how you organise your farm, be it in how you set out your garden, be it in your beautiful painting, be it in how you sing a song. Everybody is creative because we are made in His image. So the words and melodies of new songs are expressions of the heart and the words of God. Fresh words that will bring new life. Will speak to all the generations, not just the new generation writing it. And will be relevant to the times and the seasons that we are in. So it pays to heed what the new songs are saying. The word says, let the people sing, that then bring forth their songs. Songs born of the Spirit, revelators of heaven. As in heaven, administering heaven into the earth. As we flow together in unity, we are ushered into His glorious presence. Praise is one thing, worship is actually another. Each has its own character, but has a different purpose. But they do work together. With praise, as I said earlier, there is a lot to learn. It is not simply us singing three or four songs on a Sunday. Oh, well, there, I've done my praise. It's so much, much more than that. I personally have generally thought very little about praise. I see it as a more upbeat vehicle to lead me into worship, which I love to do. So praise to me is just what we do before we worship. I'm studying. As I've said, I've learnt way more. There is only one way to praise, without argument, God's way. And if you have a problem with that, you need to take it up with the Word Himself. Having said that, praise is actually extremely diverse, and compared to how we do it, extreme. It always involves us in active expression in whatever manner it may be. Our expression and praise will not actually offend God. We're not going to offend Him by our noise. We're not going to offend Him by our movement. We're not going to offend Him if we do cartwheels down the aisle. We just won't offend God. It can't be too loud and it can't be too extreme. It is focus on the Lord and who He is, on what He's done, on what He will do, His character, His amazing acts, it declares Him as wonder and His might. Praise is celebratory, active, joyous, extolling, singing, shouting, exclaiming, instrumental, movement, dance, tongues, clapping. The list goes on. There's so many ways. In whatever way you can move, you can praise God. In a nutshell, enthusiastic. And I have to look at how I praise, how much enthusiasm do I show. You know, sometimes we're just shut down. How much enthusiasm are we showing? It is not passive thoughts and words. To praise, it is necessary, the word says, to put your whole self into it. Psalm 66. The sound of His praise, His triumph, our expectation is to be heard. Psalm 40. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. I don't think we're afraid of God so much as each other. God has ordained and ordered this type of praise. Are we about what pleases us, or as we should, look to His wisdom and do what pleases Him? Will we actually do what pleases Him? What is our heart's desire? We can look at the story of King David. I'm sure we all know it, how he danced before the Lord with all his might. He'd taken his clothes off and he was scorned and ridiculed. Did he care? No. Did God care? No. I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon, but it's quite an example, isn't it? That can we get to that place of having surrendered, abandoned hearts. So why does it please God that we would abandon ourselves to worship, to praise in this way? Does God's ego need stroking? Does he need lifting up? Does it make him feel better? Does God have a bad day? No. And his ego doesn't need stroking. He is continuously surrounded by the most extravagant, noisy, wondrous praise. If you've ever thought of heaven as quiet harps and gentle brooks, I don't think it is. Maybe they're there, but when I read the word, it's quite different. I think it would blow our tiny minds, just the noise and the commotion of what surrounds God in the way of worship with the angels. Thunderous praise, it says, like a waterfall and rushing waters that you couldn't hear yourself think. No, he demands praise for our benefit. When we really enter into it, we come into right relationship. We become aligned with him. Alignment takes place as we get to that place of focusing on him. It's not about us anymore. It's not about the people beside us. It focuses him. So alignment happens within us as to the ways of heaven. He is able to grow us, therefore, to mature us, to work within our hearts and our minds. We are actually led into right thinking, his thinking. The result of right thinking will be right doing. Faith will rise up within us to the level of our confession, what we're confessing as we sing. Our faith will rise to that level. You may, as you begin to sing something, think, well, yeah, I don't know about that, and sing the words. But as you really think about what you're singing to God, that word can take on a reality as the Spirit works within you. And so faith will rise to that level. We're singing a song at the end, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." We all know that song. We could sing it out of our heads without thinking. But if we think about it, "It's a lamp unto my feet, Lord. I can trust you. I'm sure of the way ahead. You will not fail me." There's so many places you can take a simple song like that and simple words, and faith rises up within you for that next occasion when you may need it. So faith in him is growing as we praise, without which, as I said earlier, it's impossible to please him. If we have a difficult time accepting the model for enthusiastic praise shown to us in Scripture, I think we really do need, I need, to seek help, to commit to work through how I feel. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is our go-to. It would be our place to start. He is the one who leads us into truth and understanding and helps, as I said, realign our thinking. We're told to put on the garment of praise. Now, I am alone a responsible to my responses or lack of. And if you put on a garment, it's you're physically, actively stepping into something. You've made a decision and a choice. You go and you put that garment on. Here I am, God. I'm at church with my family and I'm ready to praise. Or here I am in my quiet time and I'm ready to jump around my living room. Or whatever it is for you. But it's a putting on. It's a decision and a choice and a physically stepping into something, putting it on and saying, yeah, my day's not going so great, but yet I'm going to praise you because I know that you have good things for me. It's that putting on that garment of praise, a choice and a decision, and you alone are responsible for it. But that needs to be an authentic response, loving, joyous, hearts open to flow with the Spirit. For we worship in truth, remember, in spirit. And in that place, we are falling in love, falling deeply, deeply in love with our Saviour. And this could mean for us a sacrifice of praise, and often does. Some days praising is easy, some days it's really hard and I'm not going to go there. But it could mean a sacrifice of praise. It isn't to be centred on our feelings, it's about Him. Therefore praise is actually a discipline. It's a fruit of the Spirit, self-control. It's not self-containment, self-control. We therefore can self-motivate glorious, glorious praise. Psalm 103, why so downcast, O my soul? Yet all that is within me, praise the Lord. Is it an act of our will first? It is an act of our will first, not actually an emotion. Then we give ourselves to extravagant praise as He is extravagant. So if you're of the mindset, or you've heard people say, oh, it's all a bit emotional and it's a bit ridiculous. Well, of course, God is emotional. And it's not ridiculous. That's an alignment that needs to happen in the Spirit, if that's the thinking. Heaven's model for us, I was leaving that out. Psalm 66, let us make His praise all glorious. Our praise ascends to heaven, and then we ascend on it. We're not asking God to come down into our meeting. If you read in scriptures, everything goes up. Jerusalem is up. If you look, put in the we word find, lifted up, just so much comes up there. And so everything's going up. So our praise, does our praise have that sense of ascending up into heaven? Because we are to ascend up into it, into Him. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And that's that preparation I talked about by putting on the garment of praise, by preparing before we come to a corporate meeting like this, where we're all going to, we're expecting to praise together, we're expecting to hear God, we're expecting to join in and be united together. So it's coming prepared with that intention that, yeah, I'm right with you, God, and I've prayed for the meeting, and I've prayed for things that are going on, and you know, it matters to me how you all experience God, and I hope it matters to you how I experience God, that we care about each other, and that we're doing this together. We enthrone Him with our praise, encircle Him, and lift Him up. Everything is leading upwards, I said. For instance, in scriptures it talks about lifting up our eyes. Lift up your arms that hang down. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your offering. Lift up your hands. Job 11, if you had prepared your hearts and lift your hands. All the people lifted their hands. This, I know, is a challenge to a lot of us. I've had a few people say to me they would like to do that, but they can't. Or they don't see the need to do that. And, you know, it's, you know, I can't tell you what you need to do. I'm just reading the scriptures as to what it says there, that you may be encouraged. So you may be thinking it's just too hard, or I don't need to do that. It's my heart expression that counts, of course, we've said that today. Or maybe those who do actually raise their hands and move about in church, they really annoy me and distract me. You know, there could be many responses to that. But remember and think on, it is He who first lifts us up. He lifts from us our heavy burdens. He was lifted up on a cross. Arms open. Pray, it says, with holy hands lifted up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Lifting hands is a common form of praise. While it is an option and not a legalistic response, God forbid that we would go there, it does need to be an option, however, that we are free to enter in with. Scripture says to come as a child. What does a child do when delighted to see his daddy? Of course he says, here I am, daddy. Arms raised, lift me up. If we responded to God like this, from our hearts, not just a legalistic response. Can you imagine his response back to us? As a father, I'm sure, or a mother, and a child runs up to you, arms lifted up, you just want to pick them up and love them. God wants to respond to us. Our body language, however, does speak, not just to those around us. It can inhibit inhibit them if contained, but it also speaks to the Lord. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. If one of our issues is being contained, maybe we will be shut down. So is this a heart issue for us? Maybe it's not. But as Anthony said a few weeks back, are there rooms of our heart, our lives, that we have never opened the doors to invite the Lord in? There is a need to bring a sacrifice of praise. This speaks of a cost that is huge value to God. And the sacrifice and sacrifices have always had a high price. Look at the whole Old Testament. The cost was death, of course. Animal sacrifice, among other things, to make it happen. God did not delight in the sacrifices. They could never fully atone. New Testament also called for death, the ultimate death of one for all of us. But this also calls for a death for us too. Death to our fleshly way of life that would want to rule, that desires to inhibit at best the way of the Spirit. Our flesh does not want the Spirit to have its way. So there has to be a death. Flesh must yield to the work of the cross with the help of the Spirit. And this is a pleasing sacrifice to God. So lifting our hands may be a cost in the beginning. Bless the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. For me it was a cost in the beginning. I think I could do it about here, where nobody could actually see anything going on. But I've got freer, and now it's just whenever I feel spontaneously. As long as I don't feel it's going to inhibit anyone else or be a problem, I feel free to do it. It's important in praise that we all be agreed, of one mind and of one heart. Unity is not uniformity. We are each individuals who each has a beautiful expression of God, that broader view of God, with different gifts and talents and character. However, we have one Spirit who brings us together and leads us in harmony. True unity will allow for the colours of heaven to show through each one. It won't be a bland picture. Church with true unity and harmony and that expression of each individual and who we are will be a beautiful place to be. I grew up thinking that Christianity was twin set and pearls and people who didn't smile. I've got pearls. I've got a twin set. So how my vision has changed. Effective praise and worship services on Sunday will affect our lives and bring desirable changes. It will advance the kingdom of God, and it does matter greatly to me, to you and to our community. Praise is an effective weapon of our warfare. And there was so much in that I'd love to teach on, but time constraints. But if you wanted to read 2 Chronicles 20 and Paul and Silas in prison, and both were amazing victories through praise with amazing, amazing results. Think about the words that we are singing. How convinced are we of what we sing? For instance, if you're singing a song, something I probably would have a problem with is the dead being raised. I've never seen a person raised up from the dead. But we know it's happened scripturally in the Bible. Jesus did it on a few occasions. We also could be asked and put in that position. It's pretty out there for my mind. And if I'm singing a song about that, I may have a problem with faith. But as I'm confessing it, as I'm recalling what Jesus does, as I'm recalling that I walk in his steps, that I have his Spirit and all things are possible, I know that faith will be rising up within me. It may not be yet my true confession, but God's working that out in me. So it's intentional thinking about the words we're singing, and faith is growing. If we're singing empty words, words that we're not going to commit to, words that our heart has not invested itself in, the Bible calls this an unholy sacrifice and is unpleasing to Him. Something to be aware of for each of us. I'm getting near the end, guys. Scripture sets out a design, a model to structure our praise and worship on, but nowhere is there a set formula, a must-follow order. Some of the only musts I see are come clothed, prepared, in the spirit, in truth, in knowledge of a right mind, and do it His way. There's so very much more that I could keep on going and going, as I said, but I just want to finish highlighting Acts 2. And that's been taught on quite a bit in the church here recently. And I think it's just something God's really bringing before our attention, that this truth in that word in Acts 2 for us to find and what He's saying to us personally and together. But here in the upper room, these folks waited, expectant, desperate, fearful, yet determined, hidden away and out of harm's way. They were scared for their lives. The Spirit came upon them dramatically after some time, and the city was shaken, a loud demonstration of power from heaven. They were filled and filled and filled, and I'm sure had the most awesome praise time ever as they got drunker and drunker and drunker in the Spirit, till it could not be contained within the walls of their meeting place. And they poured out into the streets, and they were praising God supernaturally in other tongues, tongues that they had not learned. This was the voice of heaven heard on the streets. These were a frightened, desperate people. Now they were bold and they were fearless and they were praising God. People could think what they will now. That was His business to sort out. They didn't have a care for it. Amazing transformation. Following the praise, Peter now spoke inspired and empowered. 3,000 were added that day. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11. Isaiah 60:18, you will call your walls salvation. Our salvation walls need to be built in our lives. It's not something that they're just there, they are built. And your gates praise, gates being our entry point and His entry point, where we come together, intimacy and growth in Him together. God's word shows us clearly He desires for each one of us to open gates of praise. Praise is our pathway to the deepened expressions of the heart of worship, which He will lead us in once we have opened wide the gates of praise. And it will be deep calling unto deep. So all that is within me, praise Him. None of this is dependent on ability or even desire. Remember, the Spirit is always ready to praise. He's always willing to praise. He's always able to praise. Are we ready to give more in praise? I believe a journey to the all that is within me. And I don't think we'll ever arrive at all that is within me. But it's a journey we need to be on. Our flesh is weak and will naturally place its barriers and its obstacles to doing this. Flesh needs discipline, teaching, training, maturing to grow in faith and allow a deeper love to be manifest. He is making us beautiful. This is preparation time. Lord, we need You and Your Holy Spirit that You would lead us, Lord, into all the truth that You have for us, Your whole word, Lord. Light our way, Lord, and let us follow you. Thank you for your ears and your time, and I hope you gain something out of that, as I've gained so much in the studying. And then one more song for us. Thank you.